The numbers of trafficked brides in India has grown by a staggering 30% in the past 3 years. That's what researchers have discovered. In northwestern India in particular, the practice of female feticide has led to an increasing imbalance in the ratio of men to women. In some states, there are only 830 girls for every 1,000 boys born, and that's creating a demand for marriageable women. And as Anu Anand reports from India, the situation fuels the brutal exploitation of girls and women.
Just an hour's drive from India's capital, New Delhi, in a small conservative village, I meet a woman we'll call Farida. She asked me to change her name to stay anonymous. Farida is about 40 years old, with high cheekbones, perfect white teeth, and light brown eyes. She is one of thousands of women trafficked to provide wives for local men. Farida says she was taken from her village hundreds of miles away near the Nepal border at the age of 11. She was sold to a local widower for most likely less than the price of a motorbike. Farida says her husband stuffed rags in her mouth and raped her until she blacked out. The rape and abuse carried on until his death, but now his family continue to exploit and abuse her, as she tells a local activist.
When my husband died, I was forced to marry my brother-in-law. Now he beats me day and night.
Do you have a child with your brother-in-law?
Yes, a little girl. But still, they want to throw me out, my brother and sister-in-law.
You tell them I won't go. I'm going to put down roots now.
They won't even give me 10 rupees. Doesn't matter if I'm dying of hunger. They beat me day and night.
Do you have a phone?
No, of course not. I'm not allowed a phone.
I'll give you one. I'll talk to you on it and find out how you're doing.
Farida has come to a sewing class organized by other trafficked brides, all of them noticeably darker skinned than the locals. They are called paro and molki, words that mean taken and bought. In this rigidly patriarchal and caste-conscious society, derogatory terms like these are used to keep such women in their place. The women have told their husbands this class will help them earn more money, but it's also an excuse to share experiences, stories of being treated as unpaid drudges and sex slaves. Sanjida was sold twice. Bibi toils in the fields from dawn to dusk, only to be fed the family's leftovers. Koshia Khan, herself a trafficked bride, is the activist who has promised to help them. She provides legal aid, moral support, and skills training to hundreds of such women across Haryana state. Her dream is to run for political office.
Our politicians don't care for the plight of these women. If I could get elected, I would at least be able to help them. But I don't have the funds to run a campaign, and there's a lot of opposition to a woman like me daring to stand for office. I was threatened, so I stepped down.
There are no official statistics on trafficked brides in India, but the UN Office of Drugs and Crime said in a 2013 report that tens of thousands of Indian women were being trafficked into forced marriages, and that the demand for marriageable age girls was so intense, organized rackets were operating in at least 3 states. And the numbers are growing, according to Reena Kukreja, professor of gender studies at Queen's University in Ontario, Canada. She's done research in 1,300 villages across northern India.
I did my first survey in 2011, and I did another one just recently in July, August of 2014. And what I have found is that there has been an increase in the number of women that are being brought in for marriage here in Rajasthan and Haryana, in the regions that I've researched. And it's an increase of around 30%, 25 to 30%, varies from village to village. And it is pretty significant.
Kukreja explains that wealthy landowning castes here bitterly object to equal inheritance laws, which give daughters as much of a right to property as sons. So they often force pregnant women to abort baby girls. When boys here grow up, the gender imbalance means it's difficult to find a local bride, so they turn to traffickers. It's easy to lure poor women with promises of a good husband and a good life, because few can afford the thousands of dollars in dowry their families are traditionally expected to pay.
I'm just sitting with a group of men in a little row of shops under a bamboo awning, and there's a real sense of denial, I suppose you could say, that this doesn't really happen. Women are not bought. They come here of their own free will, and if they are bought, it's only 2 or 4%. And, well, that's normal. That's what they're telling me.
For anti-bride trafficking activist Shaviko Rehman, such attitudes only underscore much work needs to be done.
This is an open secret.
It's an open secret. Everyone knows and sees trafficked brides, but people don't talk about it. This is illegal completely. But when it comes to law enforcement or judiciary, society is in denial mode. They are happy to help hide the problem. Girls go to the police, but they are sent back to their tormentors.
Police ke paas se wapis usi jagah bhej di jati hain jahan se wo aayi hain.
We've just driven to another part of Haryana now and are hoping to meet someone who actually traffics in women. Of course, there's no guarantee that we will actually be able to meet him, and no guarantee that he will tell us in detail about the trade in women.
As dust settles over the small town of Tijara, I do meet a broker, or dalal, as they're called here. But he looks nothing like the hardened trafficker I'd imagined. Bashir is an old man in rumpled clothes with 9 mouths to feed. We chat, but he declines to be formally interviewed. Twice a year, he tells me, he and his wife go back to her village in northeast India to bring wives for local men. It's a community service, he says. They're poor, we're poor, everyone wins. Back in the sewing center in her village in Haryana, Farida says her life and the lives of many other trafficked brides have been destroyed by abuse. Prosecution is extremely rare. The most painful blow, she tells me, wiping tears with the back of a blistered hand, is that her own children have been systematically taught to hate her.
My eldest son says to his grandmother, "Why don't we sell her on? There are many others like her. All I hope for now is a good death. That's all I have left."
For DW, I'm Anu Anand in Haryana, India.